sitting there in the back on the sound booth, I can't always see everything. And I know that the musicians up here are just, they're busy working. And Talon and Bert came together to bring us some wonderful worship music this morning. But what I was amazed, I'm one of those people chewing gum and walking at the same time. If I'm not in rhythm, I'm going to trip. And Talon is up there with his feet, controlling the drums, playing and singing, and not missing a beat. It's amazing to me. He came from my bones, who has not an ounce of rhythm, and being able to do all that. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So I thank the praise team, and it's regardless of who's up here, it's always a wonderful, wonderful experience to bring us closer to the Lord. I'm going to open with prayer, and then I'm going to get into a subject that is maybe causes a lot of thought. Let's pray. Lord God, our Father, we just thank you. We thank you for your love, for your grace, your mercy. As was said in the video we saw, while we were yet sinners, you called us to be your own. What a wonderful thought that is. You loved us that much. And to know that you place this written word in front of us, that we can study more about you and learn who you are, we just thank you for that. And just pray that as we look into the word today, you would open our hearts and minds, that we'd be able to draw close to you and to put into action the things that you've called us for. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. This is one of those mornings where the songs, that video, I was taken aback by that video because the idea of what went on for that young man to reach for him to get that box that was just full of what we would call trinkets. It changed his life and all that went into that. That's kind of where I am today in these scriptures that we're going to be looking at. Because one of the things that we ask ourselves throughout our time here on this earth is, why are we here? And God has chosen us for what purpose? Looking at the simplicity of those two questions sometimes, it's overwhelming. I've got to start with this. Well, before I do that, when we ask ourselves those things, I believe most of us have asked ourselves those questions. Why are we here? And for what purpose am I here? So starting back when you were a child, and maybe those of you who have children and grandchildren, even at this point, you come to you ask them, what do you want to be when you grow up? Anybody ever ask you that? What do you want to be when you grow up? The answers are varied. They're huge. Just think of a few. It says, some of the answers could be, I want to be a fireman. Hey, we have a few of those here. A policeman. A doctor, a soldier, got some of those too, a psychiatrist, most of us are, but we don't know that yet, so just keep that in mind. Maybe you want to be president. How about an actor, one of those famous people out there in Hollywood? I know a couple of my children were really interested in tractors. Want to drive a tractor. Want to grow up and drive a tractor. Bulldozer. Earth-moving equipment. Some of Some people say, well, I just want to build things. Got those here too. I just want to fix things. Be a mechanic, technician. Got those here too. We've had some teachers here. Want to be a teacher. One of the jobs that really fascinated me, and I don't know why, because I guess I just like climbing things. When I was a kid, getting out there on the rocks and the trees and everything, climbing is great. I saw those people up there on those telephone poles and those high-tension wire structures, and they're working on way up in the air. Climbing up one of those poles, be a phone man or an electrician, that just fascinated me. Knowing my psyche, the Lord didn't let me do that because I would be dead today. Because I just am not careful enough to do that kind of work. And there's always I just want to grow up and be a mommy. Or I want to be a nurse. We got a couple of those here. I want to be a daddy. And some people just skipped right to, I want to be rich and famous. That's all I want to do. Anybody make it there? Oh, yeah, right. I don't think any of us have really gotten to that point. Why would we want to be there in the first place? I don't know. But and then as you see, ask with that follow-up is, why am I here? We can go on looking at these things for a long time, trying to find an answer. I got to start with something before I get into the meat of this, because it is so important that we remember this. I'm going to refer back to it several times, so make a note. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. For as my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Just remember that. God revealed a lot about himself to us in these written pages. But there are some things we just don't understand. One of the main things I don't understand is why he would God would sacrifice his own son to save me, a sinner. It blows my mind. I mean, it just, that is so against our way of thinking as humans. We are not that giving. We have a tendency to kind of keep to ourselves on those kind of things. But for God to do that, that's a question that is in my mind, and I'll ask him when I get there. No, I won't. But it'll be one of those things that keeps making me understand that God is great and I am not. We found the answers to some questions in the Bible. Specific answers to what you are going to be when you grow up. Maybe not so. What's referred to as a vocation. We may not have those specific answers, but there are a lot of answers that we can find in the Bible. And keeping in mind what's said in Isaiah, if you ever get to the point to where you think you've got God all figured out, you're in the wrong place. We can have an understanding of who God is in study and prayer. However, his sovereignty is not to be completely understood. We accept that he is sovereign, but how that works into our lives is sometimes one of the mysteries that is not revealed to us all the way, but maybe as we look back, we can see. I'm going to take a side trip that I wasn't planning on, because that video got my mind going. And those of you who have been in my Bible studies know that when my mind gets going, it's a dangerous thing. but it is so relatable to what I'm going to be talking about today. We accept a sovereignty, but to totally comprehend it is beyond our ability. What little understanding given to us is just that, a gift from God. We can say, I'm going to work for it. I'm going to try to get more knowledge and so forth. And it might be given to us. But when you go out and start seeking it yourself, it's going to be difficult. Think of what Zach, anybody remember how to pronounce his name? His full name? I didn't think so. Junior. Zach. So Zach, think of what took place in order for him to get that box. Somebody in a church like this went out and bought a few things, put it in a box. That box was then taken by somebody else into a center where they process these boxes, made sure everything was safe in there, and was shipped in a big box. You saw them carrying the big boxes of boxes across a river there and taken into a village far away. So how many hands touched that box already? Probably a lot. I'm not even going to try to venture to say how many. And from the beginning of that box being put together to that ending up in that little boy's hands, that changed his life, that made him decide that I want to know this Jesus. That's sovereignty. That's God working in that little boy's life. And when you look at all the steps that have to take place in order for that to occur, God was in control. Anybody in here have that much control over anything in their life? I don't think so. I really don't think so. We want to. We want to control our lives in that detail, but it doesn't always work out well. The actual topic for today's study is predestination. How many people have thought about predestination when you hear about it in the scriptures or in a Bible study? I'm not here to give you all the answers. I'm just going to tell you what's important. God's predestination of choosing us to be in his family is all him. Remember Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. I'm going to refer to that several times during this message. So predestination is discussed, debated, pondered, and I don't have an understanding of what predestination is. In terms of my being chosen before I was born and all that happened to allow me to surrender to his call, I don't get it. All I know is that his ways are higher than my ways. And I just leave it there. I'm not going to ever figure out how he predestines things like that. Some aspects of predestination have been revealed in the pages of Scripture. I think probably the first evidence of this is way back in chapter 3 of Genesis, when it was predestined that the seed of coming from Eve would bruise the heel of Satan. I'm sorry, would smash the head of Satan and bruise the heel of our Savior, Jesus Christ. That was revealed right there, and that was predestination. And so many years later, that came to be. It ensued in a couple of thousand years that all that was laid down before the foundations of the cosmos, not just the earth, of the cosmos. Pardon my density, but I don't get it. But I trust it. I trust it. Mainly because of Isaiah 55:9. To reinforce that thought And this is where we're going to get into the nitty-gritty. I didn't include this in the scriptures up there of the Romans and Ephesians. But in Acts, did you know that predestination is only like, I think it's predestination, all total of, let me see if I got it here. I think it's 9 times in scripture. That's it. And some scriptures hold it twice. So it's not something that is mentioned real often, but it causes a lot of thought. So I'm going to read this section in Acts. This is when John and Peter were brought before the council and being questioned about why they were doing what they were doing, going to be thrown in prison for preaching the gospel of Christ. And then they came back to, they were released because the council didn't know what to do with them. Talk about some predestination there if you want to. But anyway, the idea of them coming back into the fold of the believers so that they could tell what was happening, what had happened to them, they began to speak to them. And in their speaking, they began to pray. And this is starting in chapter 4 of Acts, verse 23. When they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priest and elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they lifted up their voices together to God and said, "Sovereign Lord, who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit," this is quoted from Psalms, "why did the Gentiles rage and the people plot in vain? The peoples and the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. For truly in this city, there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. Jesus was predestined to be mistreated by the leaders of the community and of the governments in order to accomplish the work that was set before him. It says, the passage shows that Jesus was predestined to be the Messiah Savior, to whom all who know him and trust him with salvation from the wages of sin, which is death. Jesus, the Creator, predestined Herod and Pilate, the Sanhedrin, the crowds, predestined his birth, his ministry, his persecution, his crucifixion, his burial, his resurrection, and all that came together, so he and only he could fulfill the prophecies concerning the Messiah, to be sure that all the prophecies pointed to him and him alone. So predestination in that aspect is really what we are to be concerned about. It is how God explained it, and we'll see in a little bit, he explained it even in more detail concerning us. He is the control of destiny. Just like those few trinkets that went in that box went to a young man in a foreign land and changed his life for Jesus Christ. That was destiny. That was God's predestination for that occurrence. We just have to trust in his sovereignty. when they were praying this prayer in Acts, it says, together to God they said, Sovereign Lord. They acknowledged his sovereignty over everything. As much as they maybe didn't want to think about what was actually happening there. So, and what had happened. But they know that because of God's sovereignty, they were now saved from their sin. So that was a little look into what we're going to be talking about here. If from the foundations of the earth as we know it, God had a plan and a plan for us, the chosen. How and why we are chosen is God's plan. And as far as I know, he holds the script for our lives. Do you think that Pilate and Herod, as children, think about this, Pilate and Herod as children or young adults knew that they would play a key part in the crucifixion of the Messiah? What do you want to do when you grow up, Herod? Oh, I want to crucify the Christ. I don't think he said that. Pilate, you're just going to turn your back on what you know is wrong when you grow up, and just let it happen anyway? He was supposed to be a righteous leader, right? He was supposed to be in control of things. And he just said, do what you want. I don't think that was in his plan. He'd never thought of that. Thought he would be put in that position, but there he was. So they were predestined to play a part, a key part, in the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I don't want that predestination for me. And you know what? God has a better plan for us. We have a loving God that has given us a purpose as Christians in person to what we are to do and what we are to be. Ephesians 1. So let's flip over to Ephesians 1 if you can find it. Ephesians comes after Galatians and before Philippians. Excuse me. All right. Ephesians 1, we're going to go 3 through 14. I think we got it there. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. Think about what was just said there. Before the foundations of the world, he chose us. Any amens out there? Isn't that a praise? Isn't that a praise? Continuing in verse 5, he predestined us for the adoption as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has blessed us, the beloved, in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on the earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were first to hope in Christ might be to praise his might be the praise of his glory. In him also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. Those words, a few years back, when I read those, I finally began to understand that there are two different kinds of predestination. The predestination that's in God's hands, Isaiah 55:8-9, and the predestination, once I have answered the call, is now put in my hands. There's responsibility that comes with that. Romans 8:28-30. I think I only said 29 when I asked for the passages, but I'm going to go 28-30. Or 26? 26. Okay, we'll go 26. Okay, we'll start back in 26. Likewise, the Spirit in us helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings and deep words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit, what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for all saints according to the will of God. And we know that for all those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. For those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those who he predestined, he also called. And those who he called, he also justified. And those who he justified, he also glorified. So we are here because God created us for his purpose before the foundations of the earth. God created us for his purpose. What is his purpose? To be conformed to the image of his Son. We are called to his service. He justified us, the believers, so that this can be possible. We know that Jesus Christ suffered a lot while he was on this earth for our benefit. We can expect kind of the same thing there. But that's not where I think this verse is really keyed on. The idea is that we are conformed to the image of God by his work, because he justified us. Therefore, if we are made pure, perfect, whole, holy, however you want to look at it, before the sovereign God, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we are equipped to do his work. We are predestined to do his work. And his work is to tell others about Jesus Christ. It says, to his service, he justified us, the believers, so that this can be possible. Following that, with all that is in Ephesians 1, we are called for the purpose of leading others to Christ. Ephesians 1:12. So, who were the first to hope in Jesus Christ? The first to hope in Jesus Christ were the ones he was speaking to, the chosen, under him. so that they could tell others. And because they told others, we know. 2,000 years later, we know. 2,000 years from now, if the Lord tarries, why will someone come to know Jesus Christ? Because we told. We continued in telling others about Jesus Christ. The first among many brothers can tell others about Jesus and the salvation he makes available to the world. Remember, John tells us in John 3:16 that God's loved the world so much, he sent his son to save us from the death of sin. Sin is death. It accompanies it one on one. So the predestination that sometimes we stumble over and just kind of shove to the side because we don't want to understand it, we are predestined to do his work. When we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are called to tell others about the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why we're here. Because God calls us to his service and allowed us to do that because we've been justified in Christ. We can tell others about Christ. Through the predestination, God's will, we're to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. To me, it is that simple. I'm predestined to tell of the love of God and of Jesus in a way that will lead others to knowing him, to salvation. God's ways and thoughts are higher than mine, higher than yours, higher than all of us, even collectively. When God said higher, this is the way I imagine it. My thoughts and ways are here I'm standing on this podium. Okay, normally 5'9". That's my ways and thoughts. God's thoughts. What did we read back there in Acts? Higher than the heavens. His are up there outside the solar system someplace. Out there in the Milky Way. That's how much higher his thoughts are than my thoughts. That's the way I kind of picture it. Yeah, I've got an imagination. But I was predestined to have that. So don't waste your time and energy meditating and thinking and debating about God's predestination for you to become a believer, a follower of Jesus Christ, and to be called into his family. That's his way. That's his thoughts. He did that. And I don't understand it. But that's okay, because I trust it. Why? Because he is sovereign, and he is holy, and he will never do anything that will hurt me. What you need to meditate on is how you can accomplish the work that's been set before you, that you've been predestined to do in your life, moment by moment. And that's why we're here, and that is our purpose. I'm going to close here in just a minute, so Talon, if you want to come on up. If you haven't answered his call, and he called everyone, his statement in Scripture is that he would like no one to perish, but he also knows not everyone will. But if you haven't answered his call, and you feel the urging of the Holy Spirit tugging on your heartstrings, today would be a great time to start your journey with him. And even if you have answered the call and become a believer in Jesus Christ and in the family of Jesus Christ, adopted into the family, sometimes your direction that you have sometimes seems to be fruitless, purposeless, directionless. The list goes on and on of the way we feel sometimes. Surrender to the call to which you've been predestined. Just move as the Lord leads.
Please stand if you're able.